We are now moving to agenda item 10, hatchery reform policy C3619. This is a briefing, and we do have one gentleman to make public comment at the end of this. Ms. Peterson, welcome. Oh, and Ron, too. Yeah.
Chair Carpenter, Commissioners, Director, my name is Ron Warren, work in the Director's office, and I'd like to start the presentation off today, and my honor to introduce our new Science Division Manager in the Fish Program, Lori Peterson. She's going to get an ample opportunity to talk in just a second, because I get to stop talking. Just wanted to say that the Science Division Manager position had been briefing the Commission, making sure that you understood the schedules and the fulfillment of the tasks that we were assigned. And from the first day that Lori took the job, the phone call came to Ron and said, hey, I want to jump in on this and take this back from you. In a very positive way, so that was very positive from my perspective. Anyway, I'm here to offer any consistency that may be needed, as I have had most of the conversations with co-managers about this these tasks, and then I will kind of hit cleanup with some new developments from co-managers that have come up of late. At the end of the presentation. So take it away, Lori.
Thanks, Ron. Good afternoon, Commissioner Carpenter. Hi. And all the commissioners and Director Suze Wind and Deputy Amy Windrup. Glad to be here. And yeah, so Ron and I are working closely together on this one and with Eric Kinney as well for the overall project management of our hatchery and fishery reform policy review. And today is basically a status update briefing. So we'll just take you back to June of 2018. Recall that the Fish and Wildlife Commission instructed WDFW to review all sections and aspects of the Hatchery and Fishery Reform Policy C3619. And with that, suspend the policy guidelines 1, 2, and 3 for salmon species other than steelhead. And as instructed, this review would include examining the performance results since the policy was adopted in 2009, conducting a full scientific literature review with a real focus on the emerging or new science in the last 10 years, and then providing recommendations and alternatives for the Commission on possible policy changes moving forward. The project elements, as instructed from the Commission, were to include, again, like a three-pronged approach or three-legged stool, as we like to call it, three streams of information. One, as I mentioned, the science review with a focus on the emerging science in the last 10 years or the evolving science. The policy performance evaluation, and the third leg of the stool is newer, the joint co-manager hatchery benefits document. And that document is only in the very early stages of outlining and discussions with our co-managers, but it would incorporate the other information not included or not deeply touched on in the first two documents, such as cultural considerations, legal considerations, treaty rights, hatcheries providing fish for human populations, be they tribal or non-tribal, environmental factors such as climate change, and in moving forward, looking at the effects of climate change on fish in our rivers. And so that third document, as mentioned, is just in the outlining stages. And one framework suggested for it is an ecosystem services approach. So there's this Millennium Ecosystem Framework that came out of the UN in the mid-2000s. And the lead for the document has suggested using that framework. So we're still in discussions, but that's the gist of that third document. And so it's very important for us to engage our tribal co-managers moving forward in all aspects of policy development and in providing the information for consideration of any possible policy changes, as well as any other governmental or non-governmental partners, be they salmon recovery boards or other agencies like NOAA Fisheries and so on. Public outreach and engagement, of course, is very important. We'll have a public comment period after today's meeting, and we'll go through the timeline in which there will be several chances for public input, and there have been in the past as well. And in the end, the commission will consider any final reports and evaluations, recommendations, and alternatives for possible policy changes. So this slide is a graphic of our project milestones and timeline to date. In the upper timeline shown there with the different colored boxes, we have just the main milestones up to today's date, which is shown with the red arrow there. So here's our Fish and Wildlife Commission status update meeting. So we started back in June 2018 on the far upper left corner of this slide with planning and scoping after the original instructions from the commissioners. We started with the science review and in facilitation and cooperation with the Washington State Academy of Sciences, who conducted a thorough review of our outline for the science paper. Back in February 2019, Eric Netherland and Eric Kinney gave an update on the status of the project then. We had a workshop, a public workshop, with our various stakeholders in April 2019, and that was facilitated by a consultant, Triangle and Associates. In May of 2019, the Washington State Academy of Sciences conducted a workshop with DFW and other participants. And also in May, they reviewed our very first draft of the science review paper. At that time, also, we had supplemental reviewers engaged, such as tribal reviewers and others, to offer comments on our very first draft. July 2019 was a significant time in the timeline in which co-managers and DFW and even commissioners, the Fish Committee, engaged in kind of a technical and a policy level meeting about the direction of the project. We got their input there. And in August, we had another status update for you all. October was a big month in which the Washington State Academy of Sciences reviewed our third draft of the science paper and offer comments. And then here we are today to go through currently the status of everything. On the bottom, we just have these long bars representing our science review has been going on all along, our policy performance review evaluation, tribal co-manager engagement has been occurring in smaller type meetings all along, or even just phone calls with Ron and others. And we've have public involvement and outreach. And then, of course, these monthly either full commission or Fish Committee updates on the project status. For the science review paper focusing on emerging science, again, the Washington Academy of Sciences completed their third and final review on October 31st, 2019. Our WDFW lead authors for the science paper, I'm really proud of their work from Science Division. It's been a pleasure to work with them so far. Really hard working on this. They incorporated reviewers' input to update and complete the document and even completed a response to review, so how they dealt with each comment and each suggestion. currently, internally, our WDFW leadership is taking the time to really absorb and read the document, and we're doing an internal review before further distribution, which we anticipate in late January, early February, in which you all will receive a copy, and the tribes and the public after that. So for the policy review and evaluation, the second document in the three-pronged stool, our status is we have reviewed the policy performance since adoption. Again, Andrew Murdoch and Gary Marston from Hatcheries Division have worked really hard on this one. We evaluated 11 policy guidelines in a report card type format. So this stoplight type idea with the green, yellow, red scores relative to defined performance metrics. And this gets in, you know, how did we perform in the last 10 years with this policy? Our authors completed the first draft in November 2019. And so, again, currently our agency leadership are reviewing the first draft and offering comments. Next steps. And so the proposed timeline moving forward is shown here. We've engaged in discussions with commissioners up to this point. We do need your input moving forward on the overall project management and process. We envision in January 2020, not shown here, a Fish and Wildlife Fish Committee update with Ron and myself, and engaging internally with DFW leadership on understanding the science and policy performance papers. In February, we would have a full commission update in which actually the authors of the science paper would be there to present their findings, and the authors of the policy performance review as well would present their findings in a high-level type way. We'd have public comment after that meeting, and then we are proposing in March of 2020 to have a workshop with you all, and you would have a chance to, you will have read the documents, and you will have a chance to ask questions, explore certain topics you're particularly interested in a deeper way in a workshop-type format. And so we have a couple of ideas on formats for that. One would be a half-day or full-day workshop with everyone in which the authors would be there, public could be there, and we'd discuss any questions you have and get deeper into the material. Or we could do even smaller group workshops, like three of you at a time from, let's say, from South Sound, North Sound, or in the East Side, like that, and we would travel to different locations. So those are the two options we're thinking of now, but that will be up to you, of course, but that's a proposal. We're thinking in April 2020, we would have the final presentation on our documents and time for public comment. And then we would be progressing. The vision is on the co-manager's hatchery benefits document and trying to really push for that, if possible, to get out by the end of the summer, at least the first draft. There'd be time for some policy recommendations and alternatives moving forward on policy changes, more public comment time, and then by October 2020, hopefully finish up a two-meeting Fish and Wildlife Commission decision process. This is an ambitious timeline. Again, the hatchery benefits document with the co-managers is an element of uncertainty as far as really when we can work with them to get that finished, but Ron will speak to that more at the end. And so with that, we'll take any questions and Ron's comments.
Yeah. So, commissioners, maybe prior to questions, if I can, a couple of additional updates. At the this was a topic at the Centennial Accord this year with the governor and the policy tribes, or the tribes from around the state and their policy representatives. And so this is my notice to all of you that they requested at the Centennial Accord that we consider a joint policy instead of a commission policy by itself, a joint policy between the state and the tribes. So that's one. And then recently, couple of days ago, we received a request to ask if the commission would be willing to again develop a subgroup and meet with the USV Washington tribes in a policy forum like we had earlier on this process to assure some consistency in approaches. So two different requests from the tribes. Certainly the first one was supported from tribes around the state. Second request is from the USV Washington tribes.
Ron, if I may, I guess I'll ask you or Mr. Pinesco, regarding the first request of a joint policy with the co-managers, is that something that legally we can do?
So it's a legal question, so I'd yield to Councilor Pinesco, but we do have a co-manager disease policy in which we have worked with tribal co-managers across the state to, pardon?
Fish disease.
Yeah, sorry, fish disease. Yeah, not, Kim, don't get worried. It's not human health. So a fish disease policy, and so we have some precedent where we've had those joint policies in the past.
Well, that might be, I mean, that may be true of the department. I just, my question is related to the commission's feasibility to do that. I just, from a legal angle, ask that question.
Part of the legal analysis is what's your authority to have, you know, what would a co-policy serve as? And one framework could be, well, it's sort of like an intergovernmental agreement. And the commission has the authority to enter into intergovernmental agreements with local government, state government, federal government, and tribes expressly under RCW 3934, or I might be transposing my numbers there. So that would be one potential angle. It was like, okay, if you frame it as an intergovernmental agreement, yes, there would be clear legal authority if it was framed as that. Just generally having, inviting tribes as co-managers to sign on and endorse a policy that is otherwise within your authority to adopt anyhow, I don't see why that would infringe on your ability to do that. If you set a policy, you invite tribes to say, hey, we support this, we're going to, you know, sign it. I think that would be viable, too. So I think you have options.
Thank you. Excuse me, Commissioner Linville.
Ron, what do you think the intent was of those two sort of options? What do you think the intent?
I think that the co-managers are requesting a policy that, so the fish health disease policy is something that the department goes out on behalf of the agency, all of you. Negotiates, puts into place, comes back and briefs the commission. Certainly there can be a lot of guidance in that, but I think that was their intent. I think it's difficult to have the full commission meet with statewide policy members from all of the tribes to try to negotiate something like that. I at least envision, and in the couple of people, certainly haven't talked to every single tribe about it, but envisioned it to be more like our fish health policy than maybe something that Mr. Pinesco had talked about.
Okay. Ron, do you have any other comments?
Maybe I can get a head nod that the commission would like me to work with Nikki and try to set up some time with the director's schedule to schedule some time. If you could have that conversation so I have some guidance prior to leaving, that would be fantastic.
Okay. What I'd like to do now, we do have one gentleman who wants to make a public comment on this item, and then Commissioner McIsaac has a statement or a comment he would like to make. Mr. Bob Harriman.
Hi, my name is Bob Harriman. I'm a representative from Borderline Bass and Contenders, which is a hunting and fishing club in Whatcom County. I saw this on the list. I checked in today, and I had a little bit of concern, not so much I don't know what policy that you're going to vote on. And there wasn't very many comments put out on this policy. But our club's concern with hatchery reform is that it actually is a reform. We see problems in all the river systems, especially on the west side of the mountains. We see problems of other lakes and streams and so forth. And most of these problems have been the restoration and the buildup of our fishing species. So our club has seen millions of dollars spent in fixing habitat. We've sat on committees and reviews for millions of dollars to the logging industry and Department of Agriculture. We've seen regulations and changes that you guys have reviewed and reduced the seasons on most of our species in rivers. We've seen predictions on counts for salmon. We've seen predictions for steelhead, and all of them have come in less. And you're going to have another talk about Baker Lake sockeye situation tomorrow. What we're trying to say is, it seems that the only hatchery system allowed in this state is a wild program. And what I'm getting at is, what happens, where's the talks of wild versus non-wild? We see it in biologist talk, but we don't see it in public input. We don't see any of that. As far as we're concerned, it's best if you can have a wild program. But with all this money that we put into these systems, we're not getting a rebuild of our Chinook. We're not getting a rebuild of our Coho. We're not getting a rebuild of our sockeye. And we're not getting a rebuild. I mean, I can see it. I can cite one situation where I sat in this commission over 30 years ago talking about the reduction of sockeye in the Snake River, and they've kept that wild program all this whole time, and it has never changed. When are we going to talk about putting a hatchery of non-wild in, mixing it, and getting back a fish, period? Now, I've had biologists tell me, well, one wild fish produces way better than any hatchery system. And I agree with him. So if it's a third, if we put three in for this, and these three go back up and spawn, and those come back up and spawn, and naturally, this is the way I see it. If a wild fish goes out, it comes back wild. If a hatchery fish goes out, it doesn't come back hatchery. It eats, the smolt eat the same natural food as the rest of them. They have the same predators as the rest of them. They learn how to develop just like the wild. So when they come back, I don't consider that fish a hatchery fish. I consider it a wild fish. And as it spawns and those little ones go back out again, they'll learn that whole product all over again. And these three versus this one, you put in three more of these versus this one, it is going to build up the system coming back. Now, it might not be an ideal wild DNA.
Bob, can you wrap it up a little bit? We're over your 3 minutes, please.
That's our concern. We're not against the policy. We're against the ideology. And you need further work on that, because we're not getting better of all the monies we're spending. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Any questions? Thanks for coming in, Bob. Could you turn the light on over there? Thank you. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe I'll offer a few thoughts for the front table here in terms of the guidance that we might provide to try to move this down the road, including some suggestions for commission discussion on the answer to the question of the workshop, and as well as a response to the tribes. So these would be my perspectives offered up to the group here for potential guidance to try to move this to a state of finality in 2020. In the matter of the emerging science review, I'm glad to see that this is moving forward, and we're going to get these reports soon. Especially anxious to see some of the emerging science on the multi-generational effects and risks of hatchery wild crosses that go through the generations. And if there are rebuilding risks associated with various PHAS levels that are different than what we thought they were 10 years ago, that'd be very valuable in us assessing the hatchery policy as it stands. With regard to the policy review and evaluation, we started this in June of 2018, and at that point in time, wanted to stress that the policy evaluation be, well, I think is as Lori Peterson mentioned, how has the policy really worked? So in slide number 6, we see that there'll be an evaluation of the 11 policy guidelines, a red, yellow, green format. And it is important to know whether or not those 11 action items were implemented, yes or no, or maybe, or partially. But the major part of this policy evaluation review should be how well has the policy worked. And the policy intent is to make things better, and so we would hope to find out after 10 years whether it has made anything better, even if it's just a qualitative assessment. So things like where has the policy been the reason for hatchery reductions not associated with ESA stocks? And if that has happened, what's happened to the wild populations in that area? Have they gotten better? Have they stayed the same? Have they gotten worse? What's happened to the downstream fisheries when there's been any hatchery reductions of that type? Where has our policy made a difference in the wild abundance or some sort of population recovery? That's the intent of the policy, so it'd be good to know after 10 years where some examples are of where that has happened, or if it's true that we can't identify any areas where it's happened. We might also look in this policy performance where the first three of our guidelines had to do with HSRG guidelines. Are there places where those guidelines were not implemented, and what happened there? So, for example, on the Snake River Fall Chinook situation, I think those were areas where maybe intentionally those guidelines were not adhered to. What happened in the Snake River in that situation? Mid-Hood Canal, Fall Chinook is another one where there's been some dramatic changes in hatchery policies. What happened there? What happened to the wild fish? What happened to the hatchery fish? What happened in fisheries? My main source of guidance input to the commission here has to do on slide 7 on the process moving forward. And first, the staff asked about how we would prefer to have a more in-depth discussion at the commission level. So one idea was to have separate three commissioner meeting types, and the other idea was to have the full commission get together. And I would favor that we get together in a full commission workshop type of thing, maybe on the shoulders of our March meeting, because I think it's of great interest, at least to me, to know what the other commissioners are thinking about. And if I'm in a group of three, I won't hear, for example, if it's east side, west side, what my fellow commissioners on the east side might be saying that could then get into the spontaneity of some more questions about how this might work. Additionally, if we have all the commissioners together, that would necessitate an open public meeting, and I think that's important to have this be a transparent process as opposed to one where the public might be wondering what happened at those individual briefings of commissioners and what kind of policy mentality was starting to settle in there. With regard to the schedule here, the co-manager's hatchery benefit document shows up on the schedule right now after the other two foundational documents. So we're going to hear about the emerging science, that report. We're going to hear about the policy performance. This seems like a very important paper that is being built here based on what we heard in October, or was it September in Winthrop? I can't remember. And it would be very good if we had all of those foundational papers together before we started looking at policy language changes. And if that doesn't come in till the end, it's a little bit awkward. Now, I know that's a jointly authored co-manager report, but if we can't have that paper done at the time of the others, perhaps we could have a listing of topics, a listing of chapters, or some sort of an outline. That description of the various topics that I think Ron Warren brought forward seemed like right on the button as things that we ought to consider if we're looking at making any kind of policy changes. So I see on here we do have a two-meeting process at the end. I'll start at the end. I think it's very important that we do reach a stage of finality on this by October. We talked about the turnover at the commission level and how many commissioners their term expires at the end of 2020. We've seen in Oregon what's happening when they have a big turnover. The continuity and successional knowledge on the Columbia River policy business is entirely different. So I think it's important that we try to finish in October. So moving from the end, if that is the meeting where we would decide on whether or not there be any changes to the policy, I think it's important that we decide on what those changes might be at the prior meeting, say August, and send those out for public review between August and October so that everybody sees what's on the screen as a possible change, and we maximize the public input on this. This is a very high-profile topic with a lot of folks across the spectrum of fishing and conservation interests, and obviously with co-managers. Glad to hear the salmon recovery boards were mentioned here earlier. So if we had a fish committee meeting in August and a fish committee meeting in June that dealt with this, I think that would further advance the good chances that by August we might be able to develop a strikeout markup version of the current policy that could contain some change alternatives that the public would have an opportunity to comment on between August and October. And then with regard to the tribe's request to meet again, that's happened once. The last meeting, I think, was very fruitful. And obviously, as we've said before, we can't have a successful hatchery policy if the tribal co-managers disagree with it and don't like it. It's not going to be a successful policy. We need to have a policy that's got the full input of those folks. With regard to a joint policy, I'm not opposed to a joint policy. As our legal counsel has said, there's different forms that could take. On the Columbia River, we're hoping that at the end of the day on this review of the current policies that Oregon and Washington would have perhaps identical policies. Is that a joint policy? Kind of sounds like one a little bit. And so if we had a joint policy on hatchery business with the tribal co-managers, I think that'd be a positive thing. But I don't know that we could get that done by 2020. And if we start with ours and then consider the joint aspects subsequent to that, if it ends up with some sort of a joint policy, I as one commissioner am comfortable with that. But if committing to do that now cost us the schedule of getting to finality on this exercise that started in June of 2018, I'm afraid that it would linger and linger, and when it would ever get done would be a concern. So a lot of that is some comments. I'm hoping that some of it is my suggestion as guidance to the staff, and I'm interested in hearing what the other commissioners think.
Would you be kind enough to put a condensed version of what you said together for a review? That would be helpful, I think. Commissioner Graybill?
Well, that was my request. Commissioner Isaac made a brought up criteria about a future. What's happened over the past 10 years current policy. You may raise some very good points that are questions of mine, and I think if you add those and distribute them to the commissioners, and then ask for additional questions and perspectives before we all got together. And I agree. I've spent some time with that before, Doc, over on the other side, talking and going through all of the draft document, and it raises more questions than you answer in a lot of cases. And I think it would be helpful if we all got together, if meeting in subgroups and then got back together to write a document. And so if we all kind of agreed on some criteria, and 6 to 8 different questions that are very specific to performance. That's our concern. Reviewing the document, the policy that's been in place, where it has that documents. And then the next step is we'll go to improve. And so if we can all start on the same page and agree on what those important questions are, then we can discuss those and then find a path. The timeline, I think, describes this. Except for the prep and trying to know that we take us beyond it. That's what we see. If we can get to the central questions and agree on those, then we have the points to consider as a group to understand current policy, how to perform, what kinds of.
Okay, if I hear no objections, that concludes agenda item 10. We have very important people waiting for us, so I have this statement I have.